The idea of slow food has taken root quite readily in Sonoma County. Now, branching off from it comes the related concept that Woody Tash has dubbed slow money.
If we want to really support indigenous culture and heirloom varieties and artisan food traditions and small farming and all the different things that slow food really fundamentally is about, we can't just use our consumer dollars, we also have to use our investor dollars.
Tash articulated this idea at some length in his 2008 book, Inquiries into the Nature of Slow Money, Investing as if Food, Farms, and Fertility Mattered. The concept quickly found a following. Tash suggests there are two easy ways to think of it.
An alternative to our money zooming around the planet, faster and faster, invested in things that nobody understands, in places that no one will ever visit. That's the macro answer. The micro answer is investing close to home in small food enterprises that rebuild local food systems. There are thousands of us who have started doing it, and we are all perfectly willing to accept a trade-off between financial return and social and environmental impact in our communities and in our land. When you are directly relating to something that you're investing in, almost everything about the investment process changes.
Slow money can also be seen as an application of what has been termed patient capital, investments that are not tied to a quick return.
Investors who are really concerned with, let's say, intergenerational impacts, you know, long-term impacts of what we're doing to our society and the environment in the name of economic growth. Any investors concerned about that, the idea of patient capital raises some questions about how do we think in long enough term about what we're doing, and all of the incentives in investment push towards shorter and shorter. Slow money is ultra patient because we're really talking about rebuilding soil fertility, which takes many, many years of repeated activity. So it's extremely patient capital.
Often, these investments are quite modest, akin to the microloans that have proven so beneficial in rural India and other impoverished areas.
These are very small loans, a few thousand dollars apiece. The broad picture is that relatively small loans are needed by lots of small food enterprises around the country, and local investors collaborating to put that money in could be considered a form of microfinance applied to the U.S. food scene.
For the recipients, Tash adds, there are benefits beyond simply obtaining needed financing.
So there is a benefit to the recipients in terms of getting access to loans that they couldn't otherwise get. There's also benefits in terms of less collateral that is being required of the local slow money investors than a typical financial institution would require. But the other benefits are social capital, are connections in the community, scores of people who care about their business, either as neighbors or customers. That has all kinds of significant cultural, political community benefits that have nothing to do with the arithmetic on the thing.
This sort of smaller-scale, long-term, localized investing is not for everyone, Tash acknowledges, nor for all of anyone's available assets. But like many of the endeavors that Slow Money supports, it is poised to grow, gradually and naturally.
You know, 1 million Americans investing 1% of their money in local food within a decade. It's an organic movement that's coming from the volunteer efforts of lots of people who just want to see it happen.
I'm Bruce Robinson for KRCB.